First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. A new report details payments the state made to settle sexual harassment claims over the last decade. There's a lot going on in local politics this week, including one of the state's youngest mayors being elected, and a state representative is defending his choice to remove a protest sign from the Capitol building. Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. Thank you.
Let's start with these sexual harassment settlements. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel obtained documents through an open records request that shed some light on the last decade's sexual harassment payouts from the state. What did we find out?
Sure. So, I mean, the short version is that the state has paid nearly $800,000 in settlements on a dozen different claims of sexual harassment and related cases. This is actually not all that the state has paid. This is the amount that has come through a specific Bureau of Risk Management. There are some other cases where, like, individual state agencies paid out settlements, but this gets, you know, it gets to be it is a lot of money. It is a lot of taxpayer money going to settle claims or allegations of bad behavior in places like state prisons, the University of Wisconsin system, and the state legislature itself.
And how big are the individual settlements as they add up here?
So of course they vary, but I mean, I think, you know, we're looking at some that are in the sort of tens of thousands. One of the larger ones was involved the former state senator and now Milwaukee City Treasurer Spencer Coggs, who paid the office paid $75,000 to settle a sexual harassment and racial discrimination claim.
And do we have a sense of the scope of the ones that weren't included in claims paid out by the Office of Risk Management? How much more might be out there?
You know, it is hard to know. That's sort of the nature of it. What happened was, so these records were released and in response to requests by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Wisconsin State Journal. And in the wake of the release, both papers identified individual cases that they had reported on of settlements that came from the state that were not included in the records release. Because of the nature of how these settlements are made, the technical nature of how they're referred, it would seem that the majority do go through the Bureau of Risk Management, because it's only under certain specific conditions that that the individual agencies would settle. But, like, we don't know what we don't know, you know?
And there's a lot more attention to this, and maybe a lot more scrutiny in the aftermath of the Me Too movement, right?
For sure. No, I mean, that absolutely triggered these news organizations to look into this at all. There was also a records fight where, the state didn't want to release some records on the grounds that it could expose identities of victims. And that is, there's a cost to that, but these are taxpayer dollars that are being paid to settle sexual harassment, sexual misconduct at public agencies. So, I mean, that's the argument, is that ultimately there's a public interest in letting people know what is being done with their money arguably to protect people who have behaved wrongly.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin in our weekly roundup of Wisconsin news. Election day this last week, Rob, a lot of the attention went to the state Supreme Court, but there were a lot of local races happening as well, some maybe of statewide interest. Want to check out a few of them. First, Guy Zima, a longtime Green Bay alderman, lost his seat on the city council. He has been in the state news on and off over the years. Talk about this race.
Sure. Guy Zima is a larger-than-life figure in Green Bay. He's been a part of the city council since 1976, though I guess he was voted off in 2012 for a couple years and then came back. But he's legendary in the city of Green Bay, and his losing his race was the cause. I talked to reporter John Anderson at the Green Bay Press Gazette and said that he was hearing from people from, like, Hawaii or all over the place who had grown up in Green Bay who were amazed. Zima is he's a volatile figure. He's what he's known for is he flies off the handle a lot. He's had a string of complaints against him at Green Bay City Hall, allegations that he screamed at city employees or threatened them. More recently, there was this ethics investigation, and apparently, finally, his behavior caught up to him with voters.
And then in Wausau, Mary Tao was elected to the city council for the first time. What made that race stand out to you?
Well, so Mary Tao is a Hmong woman, and it's not the first time that that Wausau has elected a Hmong woman, but this particular race is really compelling. There's a controversy in Wausau a couple years ago when there was a peaceful protest that was attended by a lot of members of the Hmong community, protesting the treatment in the legal system of a Hmong boy who'd been convicted of a murder he committed when he was 15 years old. So they had a march about this. In the wake of that incident, a city council member named Sherry Abbott had an email exchange with her constituent in which she, Abbott, said that the march was basically like a Ku Klux Klan rally, and that since she wouldn't support the KKK, she also wouldn't support this march. And it was, offensive on its face statement. The constituent that she was corresponding with was Mary Tao, who later decided to, maybe she'd like to run for city council. And as it happened, after Mary Tao announced her candidacy, Sherry Abbott said she would not seek re-election. But it happened, and on Tuesday, Tao easily took that seat.
And you also pointed us toward the mayoral race in Merrill, a younger mayor there. Can you talk about Derek Wellner, the mayor-elect of Merrill, Wisconsin?
Sure. So he's 25 years old. He beat the 72-year-old incumbent mayor of Merrill, Lincoln County city of about 10,000 people or so. Wellner talked about the importance of bringing people together, listening to the residents. And he also wants to build a Frisbee golf course, which is fun.
Yeah, we hear a lot in Wisconsin about smaller communities in the state losing young people or worried about retaining younger people, keeping them from moving away, or maybe even luring younger people to those communities. How do you think Wellner's story fits into that narrative?
For sure. No, for sure. I think that, it would be fair to include Lincoln County and the city of Merrill as among those communities that feel worried about their sort of aging populations and have placed an emphasis on the importance of attracting younger people. And yeah, who knows? I mean, a young mayor maybe can at least attract a little attention. Who knows if people will pick up and move to the city as a result. But yeah, I think that could be part of his message.
And then I want to move on to this story from the state capitol. State Representative Dale Coinga had some things to say about an incident in May involving a sign in the state capitol building. And speaking of settlements, there was one there. First, Rob, tell us, give us the backstory here.
Yeah, I find this story absolutely wild. So Coinga was found on a surveillance video to have stolen a protest sign that was legally displayed in the Capitol last May, and then he took it and he hid it in his office. Coinga is a conservative Republican. This was an anti-Trump sign. It was permitted to be there. It was political speech in the Capitol. But when the surveillance tapes showed that Coinga had removed it, he ended up signing off on a settlement that is going to cost taxpayers $30,000.
And Coinga weighed in on the incident when asked about it by a constituent this week. Here's what he had to say.
The military, what I do in the military is military intelligence. And when you have something like a sign against a curved wall in a place where it shouldn't be, that is a clear risk. Okay? You just can't leave signs that conceal something in the public.
Has there been reaction to that explanation?
It was a curved wall. It was for the. It was his military training that showed him. I mean, I don't know. By his story, it is a pure coincidence that the sign he stole and hid happened to be a sign that also represented a political viewpoint he disagreed with. So I don't know. I think that the response is pretty obvious that if he was concerned about a security risk, he might have considered going to the Capitol Police. It's a lot to swallow to say that it was purely because of his military training, but that is apparently that is the story he's going with.
It's a bit Seinfeld-y as a state capitol story. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
That's Rob Metzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joins us about every week for a look at some top state news stories.